The phenomenon of UFOs has been a mystery that has confused and confounded the minds of many in recent times. But the Queen of Heaven, seeing the danger in this, has deigned to come forth in these latter days to enlighten the world on this matter, so that man may no longer be misled and confounded in mind. The following 90-minute segment is a synopsis of Heaven's message about UFOs. This is brought to you by St. Michael's World Apostolate, a nonprofit organization dedicated to making known the urgent prophecies of the last times, as they have come to us through the celebrated seer, Veronica of the Cross. Veronica was a wife and a mother of five from the New York area that was designated to be Heaven's messenger in these latter days. During the years 1970 through 1995, the Virgin Mary and her son would appear to Veronica and deliver to her messages of great urgency that have now gone throughout the world. Under Veronica's direction, a task force was set up to propagate the message, which Our Lady called the Lay Order of St. Michael. This is the full-time staff of Our Lady in New York responsible for the printing and publication of the message, and which now operates under the corporate title of St. Michael's World Apostolate. In the message, we are told that from this lay order will emerge the full-fledged order of St. Michael, which will have the full approval of the Church. In the meantime, we continue to work as lay apostles with the objective of reaching and educating the public with the message from Heaven. Now, among the many topics discussed by Our Lady in her message is the subject of UFOs. And at our August 6th meeting held in honor of Veronica of the Cross, our president, Michael Mangan, and the full-time staff put together this presentation on UFOs and the unholy ray so that the public might finally receive the full truth on this matter, which is a matter that has led a better part of society into the realm of lunacy and science fiction. The Bible speaks of the general delusion of the last times, where it says, "They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God shall send them the operation of error to believe lying." 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Our Lady tells us we are in those days, the latter days, when the operation of error is alive and at work among us. But God in His mercy has also sent us the operation of truth. And this has come to us from the kingdom of glory, through His mediatrix, Our Lady of the Roses, to whom this apostolate is dedicated.
Welcome, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to Veronica of the Cross's 5th anniversary celebration and meeting on August 6th in the year of our Lord 2000. And ladies and gentlemen, a little bit now, we're going to play a 10-minute or 12-minute audio segment on this unholy ray. And I just want to brief you a little bit. We're going to explain to people, give them a little background before you listen to the audio tape about the unholy ray. I should give a parental advisory. This might be a little bit scary, but you make the call, parents. Our Lady and our Lord mentioned a few times, as you hear in the message, in the early to mid-1970s about the unholy ray. And this unholy ray connects with UFOs, not the TV. Many of us thought it was the TV. It's not the TV. It's not other things that we thought. But specifically, it connects with the UFOs. And we all know that Jesus and Mary spoke extensively about UFOs and that these supernatural demonic manifestations from hell were produced by Lucifer to confuse and confound mankind, to delude them to think that there is life on other planets. And so when we talk about UFOs, they're often referred to as flying saucers, transports from hell. That's primarily what Our Lady speaks about, or refers to them as transports from hell. Well, Our Lady and Our Lord revealed to Veronica that this unholy ray actually emanates from these flying saucers. And it's a ray, a beam of light, and it, as Our Lady said, it reduces and debilitates their victims. And specifically, they're targeting children or young people. And the bottom line here is, as Jesus and Mary have said, is to make sure that you wear your armor, that it's very important that you have your spiritual protection upon you. Because from these demonic manifestations that are being created, or false miracles, St. Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians, lying wonders that would be produced in the latter days, that this is what they're producing. The unholy ray reduces and debilitates the victims, Our Lady said. And Veronica took it one step further, as you'll hear, and said that some of these victims are actually brought on board or abducted, I guess you might say, and are disintegrated or disappear. As unbelievable or incredible as it is, this is what's happening, and this is the emphasis that Our Lady and Our Lord have said, that all of hell is loosed upon earth. These are the latter days, and that he's given great power. I'm talking about Lucifer and his cohorts because of man's sin, because of their defiance of God's commandments and God's will.
We now proceed with the audio segment on the Unholy Ray. This is Veronica speaking at the Sacred Grounds.
It's warned the child, he hasn't received the sacraments yet, the First Holy Communion, and he should at 8. So you try to see that he receives the First Communion. That could be arranged with your pastor. As a parent, it's your obligation to see that the child, he should have had his First Communion because he needs the graces of Jesus. These flying saucers, I don't mean to frighten you, but it's the truth. They are transports from hell.
Four to five around our house for the last...
That's right. They're transport, they're trying to the children.
They came real close last night.
Many of you will believe what I have to say, but I have to tell you because it is the truth. These so-called flying saucers that are being reported seen, they are not figments of the imagination. But 2 years ago, I received miraculous photographs from Our Lady taken during the praying of those individuals of these flying saucers coming up from hell. I can assure you they are true. They are not coming from other planets, though. I tried to approach many scientists to show them the pictures that we have and the facts that these are transports out of hell. During the latter days, St. Paul, and if you had read your Bible, and those in the Holy Church would know that Satan would promote false miracles, and these are one of them. He is sending up, actually out of hell, transports. I myself had the experience of seeing one in 1969, and I tried to tell Father McNulty. That's why at that time I can understand that thought I was seeing things, but I was on my way to a mission here when I was accosted by one of them. But through the grace of God, I was being visited by St. Teresa at the time when all the apparitions started, in 1968. And I saw one with my own eyes, and I know about the ray that comes forth from it. It's like a small little sun. Therefore, you must protect your children against this unholy ray. These are transports out of hell, and you're going to see more and more of them because more are being sent up. Right now, it's the battle of the spirits, and you'll see more and more of them, I assure you, because now, wherever they are reported, our intellectual pride among our scientists try to look the other way and say that they'll either say they're coming from planets, or they'll say that someone's drunk, or that they're seeing things. But that's not true. They're not seeing things. They are actually here, and they're viewable because God the Father allows many humans now to see them with their own eyes what is around them, in order to prove to them that we are in the war of the spirits, the beginning of the latter days. Oh, we're almost about the middle now. That's how fast things are speeding up because of the inability of man to take the blindness from his heart, and admit that we are fighting now before the second coming of Jesus. And the sides are being lined up. We have the sheep and the goats, as mentioned in the Holy Bible, but actually those who are going to be in the kingdom and those who are lost to Satan. There are two entities now in the world fighting. It'll be for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. Satan, I can assure you, wishes to claim you all. And the Father doesn't wish Satan to have any of you. That is why we stress now, especially with the coming now of these transports out of hell, that you keep a sacramental about you and that you stay in the grace of God. Do not fall into mortal sin, because one of you may be claimed and disappear. I know of several instances there have been absolutely disappearance of children. they are taken aboard actually and disintegrated, or they just seem to evaporate into thin air. Well, this has happened in many, many places, and it's going to become more prevalent. You'll hear more and more of these flying saucers. That's what the UFOs, but they are transports from hell. And we want all parents to guard their children and see that they do wear the sacramentals. And my words may come to you as a shock, but I assure you, as days go on, you will find that they are true. And now, Lady wants you to know to be prepared. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
That was the seer Veronica at a holy hour in October 1973, speaking to the crowd about the unholy ray. We now proceed with the other audio tape. This is Veronica receiving the message from heaven about UFOs.
Blessed art thou among women,
Lord God, your children. You will protect them from the unholy ray.
The Lord is with you.
You will see that they have about their neck the armor we have given you. Without them, they cannot withstand the unholy rain.
That was Our Lady speaking through Veronica at the August 5th, 1971 vigil.
I see a, it's a very large pit, I guess a hole. And sitting down there at the edge of the hole are some horrible looking things. They look like animals, but they have almost figures of people. And they're sitting around now what looks like a glass. And the glass is reflecting up through the hole, and it's almost like a looking glass because it's the rays. There are rays being shot out from this glass, and the rays are going up this hole, and I'm watching the rays, and they're shooting out onto the ground, and as they're going up, riding these rays are these horrible, ugly things. I know they're demons, I know. Now, Our Lady said, watch my child, what else is exiting from the hole? Oh my goodness, there are things that look like bright lights, but they're like dome-like on the top. And they don't have any windows, they're just great lights. And Our Lady now is standing at the edge of this hole, and she's pointing and she's saying, man will not accept the truth. These are transports of hell. Oh, Our Lady's referring to these things that are being seen on earth. Our Lady said, make it known, my child, that the false miracles of the end time are now at hand. Satan seeks to confuse you. Make it known, my child, that there is no life beyond your earth as you know it. Man will go out into space. Better that he uses these efforts to find his way back to God.
That was Our Lady from the May 30th, 1973 vigil.
While we speak of agents of hell, my child, I also wish that you make it known that there are no vehicles coming from other planets, extraterrestrial vehicles. No, my child and my children, they are agents of hell in transport. Now you may ask, why must they be transported if they are spirits? Ah, my child, this you may not understand. These are not ordinary spirits. These are the demons from hell, Satan's cohorts, and Satan himself. He is also on one of the transports. There is a reason they must use the transports. I will not go into it at this time, for I am sure it would befog the mind of any scientist should I give this knowledge to them before they are ready for it.
That was Our Lady at the November 1st, 1985 vigil. We now resume with the commentary of Michael Mangan.
Make sure you have your sacramentals on. Again, we've said it 35 times, but the minimum that Our Lady has said the message, minimum brown scapular, rosary, St. Benedict medal, the Our Lady of the Roses medal, miraculous medal, and those were specifically stated in the message. I'm sure we would all agree I would add the St. Michael medal. But you want to have minimum of those upon you for maximum protection. So it really is quite fascinating what's happening with these UFOs, these unidentified flying objects. Or as our Lord said, unknown flying objects in the message. But if John will step up, he's going to give a little background. John has read a little bit on the UFOs this past week, so if he acts funny, you might understand why. Yeah. And he's going to, there is they have UFOlogists and scientists involved in this on a full-time basis, and it really is quite a craze throughout the world. They have all types of associations and so forth, but John's going to give you a little background.
Send me down to a bookstore and get some books on UFOs. With the UFO phenomena, there has evolved a type of some psychic connection to them. It's located in the New Age section of the bookstores, and there's always some telepathic powers these UFOs have, and how they can contact your mind and your spirit. And they don't understand it's supernatural. It's the devil, the demons, their power to communicate through the spirit. They have all these books on how to contact the unknown out in space and UFOs, how to talk to them and get them to come see you. The sightings of UFOs are broken down into two categories. Lights are basically, they classify them as the largest group of unidentified objects that they see in the sky. And they say these lights have an uncanny intelligence behind them. They display actions that are intelligent. That's what gives them the classification of the unknown UFO, an intelligence coming in contact with us. So they think that, well, if it displays intelligence, where does it come from? So they come up with these ideas of where it comes from, then, you know, out of space, they say. But Our Lady's telling us that they're demons from hell. And these are sightings of well-defined lights in the night sky whose appearance and or motion are not explainable in terms of conventional light sources. The lights appear most often as red, blue, orange, or white. They form the largest group of UFO reports. In contrast to the hard object sightings, these lights are called soft objects. Their bright lights displays usually nocturnal that are reported to have an uncanny intelligence behind them as they transform into craft-like clouds or fireballs or phantom lights. They change appearance right in the sky. And that is the intelligence of the demons working on the elements to make them appear and disappear. Some explanations for this have been the aliens know how to transcend time and space, they say. So they are far advanced in quantum mechanics of the universe, so they can warp out of here real fast and come back. So I get a laugh at some of these theories they have. The other group are the hard object sightings, usually oval, disc-shaped, metallic appearing and reflecting the sun. They appear in the sky, usually close to the ground where they hover. They can seem to disappear with astonishing speed, they say. Now, a lot of these hard object sightings, they had to be carefully looked at because there's a lot of hoaxes out there with the photographs and whatnot. So, and plus, also, the government's projects on hovercrafts and other levitation objects, which they, I got a book from Barnes & Noble on man-made UFOs from 1944 to 1994. Like the Germans during World War II were experimenting with aerial crafts that were mistaken in many photographs as UFOs. They were round in shape. They had cannons underneath them, which were going to be used in war. So not saying that they levitated, they used different technology to get them up, but they were round and disc-like. So a lot of these experiments have been misinterpreted, these hard sightings, as UFOs. Okay, those who witness these phenomena, they break down them into four categories. Close encounters of the first kind, those who see an object, the object itself does not have any tangible, noticeable effects on the environment. They just see it there, it's floating by, and it leaves. That's the first kind. The second kind is details of interaction between the object and the environment, which could vary from interference with car ignition systems, electronic gear, or burns on the crop fields in these circles and designs. Whether that's true, whether they really do that, that's speculation. But they classify those crop circles under the second kind. The third kind of encounter is the occupants of the transport. Entities that are said to be humanoid have been reported. So they say that they actually see a being as well. And there's no direct contact or communication with the being, with the witness. And the fourth kind are these stories of abductions of individuals who went on board, who came in contact with these things and then were released. So that's the fourth type of close encounter. Well, let me show you how they depict these things from these people who have been in contact with these creatures. See, the demons are allowed to project into their mind certain things that are actually not really there. They have no life forms, but they have spiritual forms, which they can project into their mind. And usually it's a fat-headed creature with big eyes with teeny little mouth. It's really funny looking if you think about it. I mean, let me see. Oh, here it is. I got it. They project it as that. That's no E.T.
You wouldn't want to bring this guy home for dinner.
They come in different shapes and forms, and whatever the power of the demon has to project a form into their mind. See, it has to approach them from a spiritual way, because our Lord said that they have never seen a demon who has taken on a human form, except through the spirit, through the mind. So somehow they're able to come in contact with these people who are out of grace, make them believe through some type of vision or out-of-body experience they may have, or like Veronica would have when she would be in ecstasy with Our Lady. Sometimes she felt the environment change around her and she would be running with these people, or it felt like she was right there. Well, they have the power to do this too and make them think that they're coming into a craft, or are they actually going into a light, like, and being disintegrated, the children? Veronica says they are taken on board, but what does that we understand by that, so we don't want to really get into it too much.
Okay, thank you very much, John. We'll during the Q&A, we can perhaps go into this to the second or third level, but we'd like to, at this point, Bill's going to relate an encounter of the second kind, I guess, that he had many years ago prior to Bayside. Him and his dad, as a matter of fact, but he'll explain. I guess you'd call it the second encounter?
A counter of a kind you don't want, no. Michael asked me to tell a story I told him about before. Prior to Bayside, when I worked construction, I lived on a farm with a few of my friends. Somebody said, if you guys live on this farm, we'll give you free rent, just take care of it. We said, hey, great. No rent. So anyway, one day I was sick from work, and I called my dad, and I said, Dad, I can't come into work today. I'm not feeling well. He goes, what? Now he said, okay. I said, but I have the dump truck. He goes, oh, gee. He says, well, I'll come out after work and get it. So I kind of recuperated during that day, and my dad called me and says, after supper, Joe and I are coming out, my brother Joseph, and he said, we're going to pick up the dump truck because it also had a dead battery. So my dad got out there around 6 o'clock. It was still light out, and the dump truck was facing the house, the big farmhouse, and his Ford pickup was right next to it, like a F-350 pickup. And he was facing the house, and it was just getting to the point where it was almost twilight. It was still light and dark, and like in between. So we about to open up the hood to the Ford pickup, and the Ford pickup was running. Of course, the dump truck was not. And my dad, my brother, and I are standing there, and all of a sudden, on the farm, there's like 50 hunting dogs that we had to take care of. You know, all these different type of German short-haired pointers and all these hunting dogs. And they're behind a farmhouse by about a half a block down this dirt road. So before we can jumpstart the truck, all of a sudden we hear this, arr, arr, arr. And all the dogs went crazy, every one of them. I was like, my dad and I going, he goes, boy, the dogs are acting up. I says, why? Then all of a sudden we hear this. And we look up, and there's this cloud all by itself in the sky, and it's glowing red and pulsating. We're looking at one like, what is that? And we hear this, arr! The dogs are making these weird noises, and they all, you know, you could tell they were like all pointing up toward the sky, and they're going, arr! But you could feel the vibrations going, boom, boom. So one of us said, hey, we got the CBs in the truck, because I'm for the job site, so I guess Joe or somebody got the CBs out of the truck, and we turn on, and we heard this guy down the street going, must be something like Star Trek. So we go, yeah, somebody else has seen it. So wait, when it happened, the lights to the house went out. The lights to the truck went out, but the motor of the truck kept running. And we said, wait a second. I went up to the pickup truck, and I opened up the door, and I'm pulling in and out the light switch, and the lights of the truck will not come on. The lights of the house are off. The lights of the truck are off, but the truck is running. Oh, what is going on? Is that a UFO? And this red cloud, I mean, if you're standing on the ground, you go up like this, was about maybe several blocks long. It looked like to me like cotton candy, but like had a red light glowing from the inside going boom, boom. And it had like a bass hum, a vibration to it. And we're all looking at each other going, gee, what the heck is that? And the truck lights won't come on. So all of a sudden, you know, we're standing there watching, listening to the walkie-talkies, and a couple people said something about it. So all of a sudden, 15 or 20 minutes later, just like that, it disappears. The truck lights come on, the house light comes on, the dogs cut out. So we're like, wow. So at the time, we were building for the state of Virginia a water purification plant at the prison up the street. So next day at work, they go, hey, did you guys hear about that thing last night? He said, yeah, we saw this thing. They said, no, the cows all over the whole area are dead. And they said, not only that, the guards for the prison were telling us that the guard across the river, see, they had a woman's prison across the James River, and on our side, they had the men's prison. Well, one security guard saw this thing take off in the air, and he goes, quick, he got on their regular radios, and he says, hey, there's this ship or saucer taking off across the river. And another guy goes, man, are you drunk? And then he goes, no, I see it. So anyway, the cows, all their udders were removed. They were all dead, but the guy said the weirdest thing about it, it was in the newspapers too, the udders were in a complete circle removed, and the whole wound was cauterized all the way around. They said not even a doctor with special instruments could do this. And the cows were dead all over the fields, and their udders were completely removed, and it had a very fine line that it was cauterized all the way around. He said it had to be done with a laser almost in the paper. So everybody was calling up everybody, and they said, oh no, the reason your power went out to your house is because some pickup truck hit a telephone pole and the lights went out. I said, but why did our truck lights go out? You know, everybody says, yeah, they're lying through their teeth. They don't want people to know about it. Well, the cows did. And they go, well, maybe it was some satanic cult. And some guy goes, well, how would they kill all those cows? And another guy goes, baloney. He said, how could you surgically remove all those udders and have this fine cauterized line? And one guy was describing it in the papers. He says, it was such a perfect circle, so perfect. He's never seen one like that before. He said, even if you planned it, it would spend weeks and months trying to do it. And they were dead all over the place. Yeah, something like one of their ears were gone or something like that. And they were just, one guy who was describing it from the prison said they were scattered, like one over here. And he goes, hey, this is spooky. And so that was our own experience. And so that's all I know about. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, William. According to John's report there, that sounds like a close encounter of the second kind, where John described that it affects cars and ignition systems and so forth. Although, like you said, that's the lights were off, but the ignition was running.
Because remember, they work by lights, so maybe they stuck off the light.
Right, right. Well, this is what it's all about. As you remember from that vision, that last or the second to last vision that you heard on audio, you see how they have, as it were, a looking glass or mirror in hell, as it were. And that these beams of light are shot up. And these demons are riding this light. And also they're using this light to form these UFOs, flying saucers. This is their transport from hell, is this light that, like Plato, they can form and shape and craft it into anything they want. And usually it is in the form of a flying saucer, a spaceship, or something like that. But what's scarier than that, though, is the fact that from this same spaceship or light source, they are emitting this, as you heard from Veronica, this unholy ray that literally zaps or fries their victim. And that's really scary. Our Lady said, as you heard, it reduces and debilitates the victim. And again, here again, the victims are those not in the state of grace. In this day and age, as Our Lady has said over and over again, and Son of Sam would be a perfect example, that normally, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but normally the victims are not in the state of grace, and they're certainly not wearing any religious sacramentals. They have no spiritual protection. They are spiritually naked, and they're vulnerable, obvious targets for the evil one. And they're permitted to do this. James was just saying, good point, with the Son of Sam, all of the victims lost their soul, except there was one that Our Lady said came prepared. And I think the explanation for that probably is that she or he had time to say an act of contrition or some act of contrition. But in the public message, Our Lady said that only one came prepared. And presumably at the time, though, she was in darkness. But she had time to express contrition and to save her soul. But the rest were lost. And this is what's happening and in these latter days. They're able to, as Our Lady and Our Lord have said in the message, claim their souls. Just like God is able to claim his, he's saying to Lucifer, okay, you can claim yours. I'm giving you, well, he originally gave 100 years. It's a little bit more than 100 years back in 1884 in that vision of St. Leo. But now, obviously, it's a little bit more, and that's why we must prepare ourselves spiritually, most importantly, or we will become a victim of his wiles.
If you're all wearing your sacramentals, you will be okay. If you have your sacramentals on, and you enter the state of grace for a day or two, you're dying to get the confession, but it might take a day or two, because you know many of the priests won't hear confessions, they only hear them on Saturdays, you know. But if you have your sacramentals on, what your intent is, you're going to get the confession as soon as you can, you're going to be all right. But don't remove those sacramentals. Because when you take off all your sacramentals, that's what Our Lady's saying. That's when they come and get you. But if you have your sacramentals and you intend to get the confession as soon as possible, you will be okay. That's very important to remember. And why do you want to remember that? Because you have a lot of young people who are going to be speaking to you in the future, and you can relate that to him, okay?
Yeah, good point, James. I mean, certainly, even as Our Lady said the message, we're not here to spread of rain, a terror, for have you all leaving this afternoon feared and crying and all that. That's not what it's all about. But this is the truth. This is the truth, and that you have to be prepared for that. But that is a good point. I mean, if you have the misfortune, all of you are of good will, good heart. And so you don't need to become alarmed or panicky. But at the same token, though, if you remember, too, in the 1977 messages, during the Son of Sam reign of terror in New York City, to emphasize, Our Lady even said at that time that if you do have the misfortune of falling into sin, to run to confession. So here again, I think Our Lady's saying, at the same point, don't become lax either, obviously. Don't become lax either, and you want to impart that information to your loved ones and those people that you're in contact with. Show a good balance with this, but it is very serious. It is very serious. There's many instances of people disappearing. We always thought, and it's, some of this is true, that it was the satanic cults. Remember the kids on the milk cartons? Oh, unquestionably, as Our Lady also said in the message, these are victims of the satanic cults. These kids are never found, and nor do the officials care. And why? Because they too are involved in satanic occults. Police, politicians, civic leaders. So they don't get that much help from public officials. So it's it is a very, very scary there. So you have to be very, very careful. Now, what did Our Lady say too? What did Our Lady say? Satan fears you and me when we're men and women of prayer, when we have our sacramentals, when we pray. What did Our Lady say? What does Satan do when we pray? He flees. He can't stand it. You probably heard Veronica state that she had a UFO experience herself, or as our Lord reminded, in 1969. And a little background on that, she was going to a mission being conducted by a visiting priest at St. Robert Bellarmine Church. Not the old St. Robert, that was not in use at the time, but the new St. Robert Bellarmine Church in the front of the complex. And she was late arriving, so it was difficult to get parking. And as she circling the church and everything, suddenly this light hovers around her and is following her as she attempts to get a parking spot in and around St. Robert Bellarmine Church. And finally it homes in on her. If she goes there, that goes there. And it just, if she goes left, it goes left. She goes right, it goes right. And finally she found a spot. Meanwhile, she's terrified because, as she said, it seemed to have intelligence. It seemed to be able to read her every move. And apparently it was of a red color. She didn't see it. As our Lord said, she didn't see any form or human form to it, but that it was just a light. And it kept on following her and shadowing her. And what was so funny, as Veronica related to me in describing this on the phone, is that this same light, or this UFO, that if she finally parked and she says, well, I think what I'm going to do is try to outrun it. Because she was terrified at this point. So it was on, well, first, she was in the driver's seat. It was on the left-hand side. So she says, well, I'm going to get out on the passenger side. So she shifts over, and as she gets out, the thing is looking at her. So then she gets back over to the driver's side, and the thing is looking at her. So finally she said, Blessed Mother, I'm just making a run for it. So she opened up the door and just ran towards the church. And there was, you should have, it was so comical, Veronica explaining this to me on the phone. It really was. It's comical now. She was terrified. The story's not finished. The bottom line, the most important part of the story is not finished. She saw it in the distance as well. Initially, she saw this hovering on top of St. Robert Bellarmine Church. And then it homed in on her. She made a run for it, and then it was on top of the church, and it dropped down into the church. She went to the mission talk that year, 1969, by a visiting priest. She said it was the worst sermon, worst mission she had ever heard in her life. Heresy, heresy, heresy. Modernism, humanism, communism, socialism, heresy, or mournful heresy. Did I make my point? Okay. That is what, so do you understand what happened? You understand what happened, that obviously this UFO, this demon, this bad light apparently possessed this priest. Or the unholy ray. The unholy ray. This is what happens. This is a manifestation of these UFOs and the unholy ray. This is the effect. And this is what our Lord's describing. Now, in the, as you heard, 1969, her experience. Yes, Harry. Is that Harry? Yes. I don't have my glasses on. Forgive me.
No, I don't think so. No, that's been... Let me repeat the question so people can hear it. Harry is asking, did a UFO, unholy ray of some sorts, was Father Mikkel, the priest that was possessed by Lucifer, was he deposited in that way at St. Robert Bellarmine Church? No, I don't think so. No, not at all. Because the reason being is that we know the background to him. He was the drama teacher at Cathedral Prep. Remember I showed you, ladies and gentlemen, that picture? He was the drama teacher at Cathedral Prep, and one of the plays he was doing with the school, with the high school young adults was something dealing with Lucifer. And he was on the devil. And they had a picture in the yearbook, and you see a picture of him as the drama instructor holding a pitchfork. And this is the priest that would become possessed by Lucifer. And as I've said through the years too, this poor priest that harassed and tormented Veronica, remember, she saw him eye to eye outside St. Robert Bellarmine Church. And we found out that this poor priest committed suicide. On what day? August 3rd. 1994. He was in Lorraine in Adora's parish, and of course Lorraine, being fearless, she took him head on. Okay, and of course Manny, talk about taking him head on. Manny went to confession to him. I'd stay away from him. Be careful. No, I'm only kidding, Manny. Manny went to confession to him. Can you imagine that? Wow. Of course he didn't know at the time, but wow. I'm sorry. No, Joan was next at bat.
When I went to Garabandal 3 years ago in 97, the mountain that the Blessed Mother appeared on is called the Pines. It's a mountain in the village. And one night, we didn't go up the mountain at night, just during the daytime. And one night, lights, just like in that middle row there, the picture on the far left, there were lights just like that hovering around the top of the mountain. And then it happened a second night. And that second night, there was a carload of people who came into the village. They didn't look like pilgrims, and they went up the mountain. And someone went up the mountain after them to see what they were doing and saw that they were standing in a circle, holding hands and chanting some kind of bizarre chant. And the lights were up on the mountain that night, too. The next day, and those people left. They came back down the mountain and they left. And the next day, a priest who was visiting in the village went up and performed an exorcism on top of the mountain. And the lights weren't seen again for the rest of the week, but they were just like those lights there in the picture on the far left.
Apparently a satanic cult conjuring demons are, again, here again, the UFOs. And that makes sense, too. That correlates with the Bayside message, because Our Lady said the demons will surround a shrine of purity. Surround a shrine of purity. And certainly we've had our challenges as well through the years as well. But that's interesting. There was another question. Yes.
I was going to say that the New Agers, they talk about being beamed up and being down and all that stuff, you know? And what about the Roswell?
Like they found, you know, bodies of aliens in a spacecraft, but how could they be dead if they're spirits? That puzzles me, you know?
Right. Well, a lot of this, that's the whole point, that a lot of this is, they don't quite understand it, and they try to explain it in human ways. But again, we know that these, the most important point that we understand, that these are false miracles. These are satanic lying wonders, and that Satan is producing them to delude the human populace into thinking that there is life on other planets, to confuse and confound you. Because when you consider for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in this, it really sets into motion lots of doubt about Adam and Eve, Catholic theology. In fact, in the UFO excerpts, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the points that Our Lady and Our Lord make, that Adam and Eve were your first parents or what you might call your first mother and father. So it's very, very dangerous when you start grasping or you start believing in this life in other planets. It can't be reconciled with our Catholic faith. It calls into huge amounts of question and doubt. Yes, Dora.
Can bring them into being, because thoughts are things, and you think about something strongly enough, you can bring it into being. And I imagine a lot of this kind of thing is like that. When you get people together and believe it, they show up.
Yes, they're obviously not in the state of grace, and in that way they're invoking Satan. He has these great powers, and as usual, what the message is saying is that the Eternal Father is flipping this around, though. That he's permitting this, but at the same token, the plus with all this is it reminds us that there is a supernatural life, that there is the existence of the devil. So this is why that's one of the reasons why the Eternal Father is permitting this, to remind people that there is life beyond the veil. There is a dark netherworld where Lucifer is the prince of all devils. But here again, where Jesus and Mary said, if you don't believe in the existence of a real live devil or spirit, you're playing right into his hands. Yes.
There's just one point that we should raise real fast here. Bayside is not the only place where theories of UFOs being demons has come up. These books all speak about demons as being possible explanations. This book mentions it. This book mentions it. I have another book over here which brings it up as well. So Bayside's not alone. Even though it's not been accepted by the UFO community, it's still there. It's being raised. One point also that we should not forget is St. Paul tells us that the demons really are located in three places. They're in hell, of course. They're in the atmosphere. The demons are in the atmosphere. He says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. And that's Ephesians 6:12. And he also says, he calls those who weren't converted, he says they walked according to the prince of the air, on the spirit that works on the children of unbelief. So the devil in the air, in the atmosphere. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he actually says in his writings in his Summa that the darksome atmosphere is as a prison to the demons until the judgment day. So, and our Lord mentions the stratosphere. If you go out to your stratosphere, there's hardly an inch not covered by the demons. That was June 18, 1992. So they're in the atmosphere as a prison, but they're allowed to move back and forth through this ray from hell on these transports, from hell to the stratosphere. And the third place is in the bodies of those who are out of grace, or in localities and in environments that are used in sinful ways. Veronica's had a vision of some UFOs over the church of St. Rob at Bellarmine in 1974, and she says that's only allowed by one reason. Something diabolical against the will of God is going on in that building. And they went through the roof again. And then Our Lady says in another message, a signal that you have is for their presence is sin. Sin on this location is a sign, it's a signal that onto this location have come the demons of hell. And these UFOs are also there. And that was June 9, 1979. And like Our Lady and Our Lord said in the message, he uses persons, places, and things to approach people. So he's going to approach people in these signs and these wonders in the sky to confuse them. They're not on God. They don't know what it is. And they're hypnotized by this unknown, and they want to know more about it. So that's when they get captured by the devil.
Just a point, too. You know what's scary, too, ladies and gentlemen, is that so many of these creatures are portrayed as warm and fuzzy and cutesy-wootsy and very, very dangerous. E.T.,
E.T. and what are these other cartoons and movies and toys and everything, and they're very, very spiritually dangerous too. So, wow, that's what's so scary. So, yes, Harry, why don't you come up here, Harry, and share this? Okay. Harry's one of the oldest lifeguards in New York City. I'm not kidding. Okay. You got to keep it short, though.
I will. So, I'm 12 years old, and I'm a juvenile delinquent. I hated to say it. So me and my friend were doing naughty things. We were fence climbing. That was our sport. We were climbing fences and going into yards. And then when we'd go in a yard, the man would come out and say, "Who's out there?" And we'd go, "Meow." and then we keep, it was really, this is our big kicks, you know. So we're having a grand time. And then at around 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, it was really dark out. And the moon hadn't come up yet, whatever time that was. It was dark and it was no moon up. It was very dark. And all of a sudden, we saw something come right over 295 Clinton Avenue. And it was knocking out the stars. We could see it. And it was sort of elliptical shaped. And I was an expert on aircraft at the time. I was only 12. I was a Boy Scout. But I could identify every aircraft in British Army, the Army Air Corps, the Russian, every plane in the world I knew. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, what kind of a plane is that? I never saw anything. And it was hovering, and it was no noise. And I'm saying, it's some sort of a noiseless helicopter. And all of a sudden, we're looking, and we're laying on the lawn of a doctor's lawn, and we're sweating, you know, after all our cavorting. And we looked up, and all of a sudden, from 295 Clinton Avenue, across the street, it shone down a light. Boom, a spotlight came on me and Frank Kelson. And he's now an Army, retired Army sergeant. Anyway, so we got up and we ran. Kelson ran this way, I ran that way. And the beam of light split. Boom, one on him, one on me. So when we saw that, we stopped. And we thought, uh-oh. We used to read the comic strips. And, you know, like the cops would come down, they'd drop a ladder, and they'd come down, and they'd arrest you. We thought, okay, they got us. So we both came back. And we came back to the doctor's lawn, and we stayed there in the lawn, and we waited for the ladder to come down and for the cops to say, "You're under arrest." Nothing happened. And all of a sudden, the light went off, and it went. That was the end. We were both wearing our scapulars. We had both been confirmed by Bishop Malloy, the greatest bishop ever.
What year?
1944.
Wow, amazing.
And the World War was still going on at the time.
Right. Watch your step here. Thank you very much, Harry. That was pretty neat. Would that the young kids did that type of cavorting today. we'd be better off wearing a brown scapula. Oh, boy. Gee. Yes, is Fred Roberts here? Fred Roberts. I think he's washing the camper right now, so he's not here, you know. No, Fred Roberts is originally from Rhode Island, and he's been doing a lot of traveling in the last year or two. He went from Rhode Island to Florida. He was in up and down the coast in Florida, went through Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, California, and then cutting right across the United States. And that's why when he got this RV, he says, "Geez, why don't I advertise for Our Lady in St. Michael?" So he's... Yes, yeah, he's retired.
That's why you can do that, he's retired.
He must be a retired bus driver to do all that traveling, right? No. Actually, no, he worked for a pharmaceutical firm. But wow, isn't that beautiful? Every time, in fact, I don't know how many times where you people said, "Gee, Michael, where'd you get your new bus?" Unbelievable. You know, that is Fred Roberts from Rhode Island. Bill had another story. Well, Bill's coming up. Just a show of hands, how many of you have had an encounter with a UFO? Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
So there's been a few of you that had an encounter with the UFO. How about anyone that knows someone that you feel had a genuine encounter with the UFO? Definitely. So there's a few more there. So see. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. What happened? My wife threw something at him. Andrew was wondering, Andrew was asking, his wife threw something at him. Does that count as a UFO experience? Okay. What's that, Vince? Okay, yeah. How many, Vince? No, how about, this is a serious question. How many have had an encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary where you've had a vision? Where have you seen the Blessed Mother? Wow. Wow, look at that. Amazing. Wow, that's so there's a lot of you that have actually seen the Blessed Mother with angels. That's amazing. Would some of you please approach me and we get you on the radio program? Not now, but through the course of the coming weeks, we'll get you on our radio program. Obviously, if it's genuine, you're sincere, it's something that needs to be shared with our people, we're certainly open to it. Bill.
I wanted to give you one more story. Out on that same farm in Goochland, Virginia, I'm from Virginia, by the way, before California, and a friend of mine came out to the farm one night, and I had a big dog, a Great Dane dog, weighed about 140 pounds, and his name was Walker. He goes with me everywhere, and when I go to college, everywhere, you know, just a guy and his dog. And so anyway, I said, hey, I'll show you the farm. So we're walking Walker around, you know, I got a big leash on him, and so it's getting dark outside, but, you know, it's out in Goochland, Virginia, it's away from the city, and every star looks like it's gigantic. It's beautiful. It's so black up, but you can see the whole sky. So we're walking down this trail, and all of a sudden we're talking just about, you know, normal stuff, work and whatever, and all of a sudden Walker goes, and I can't budge him. I go, Walker, come on, what are you doing? I try to push him, and he's like a frozen rock. I said, Walker, what are you doing? I'm putting my knees into him, and he's got his head straight up like this. What is he doing? And my friend goes, what's Walker doing? I said, he's acting strange as can be. And his head's like this. I said, man, maybe something's wrong with his health or something. And all of a sudden, we look up and we go, oh, my gosh. And up in the sky, we see a jet. And it's going. And in front of the jet is this light. And it goes. And the jet goes. And the jet starts turning to the light. So we're watching the show. And the jet gets close to the light, and the light goes. And so, you know, by now, this has like got our fascination. So we're watching the jet is making these curves like this. And we can hear the jet. And it's going. And then the thing goes. It's just making a monkey out of this jet. So the jet goes. And we go, hey, this is pretty cool. Looks like a dog fight in the sky. So we're watching. And you could, it's like a motion picture because it's so pitch black. And you could see the jet. And you could see this light object. And it's like a motion picture. So crystal clear. So the jet goes down, it's aiming toward like this, and the thing just goes like this. And so the jet goes one more time, but this time the jet goes real close to it. Hey, look, the jet's getting close. And all of a sudden the jet goes, oh my gosh, the jet disappeared. And this thing just goes, and so we go, my friend's saying, they disintegrated the jet. So we run back to the farmhouse, and we're dialing on the phone, and we called the local Air Force base because there's not air, and we tell him what we saw. He goes, no, we have no record of a jet missing. No, so we saw it, and we're calling all these different people, and they said, no, I'm sorry, we know nothing of this. And my friend and I looked at each other, and said, it was a jet. And I said, wasn't that a jet? He goes, yeah, because like, we work at a base. We work at the base with all the jets. We know jets. We know the F-16s, F-18s, you know, and we're military contractors. And I said, isn't that a jet? He goes, that was a jet. And it was having a dogfight with this UFO or something. And it blew up the jet. I mean, the whole jet went one big flash of light. And just silence. And then the thing just went. And after that, we're like, my gosh, they probably covered this up. So.
Two close encounters for Bill Dykes.
But what a pleasure to remember Veronica of the Cross, this holy woman, wife, mother, grandmother, and prophet. And this woman, so to speak, took a bullet for the cause. So you and I could partake of this spiritual feast at Bayside. And we pray, our fervent prayer is that one day Veronica of the Cross will be raised to the altars of Holy Mother Church. And as you may know, there's an opening in the traditional calendar anyways for August 3rd. And so we pray that that day may be filled with Veronica of the Cross's name. And interestingly too, August 3rd is coincidentally two important events, or actually two coincidences occur on August 3rd that we'd like to share with you this afternoon. First of all, for all you history buffs, Christopher Columbus set sail from southern Spain on his providential journey to the New World and the discovery of America on August 3rd. Interesting. We're talking about Veronica, who one day history will record as one of the greatest American prophets. And also, too, on August 3rd in the traditional calendar, it is the feast of the finding of the body of Saint Stephen. And the gospel message, the gospel for that day is from St. Matthew, in which Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he rebukes them because he says to them that I have sent you holy prophets and wise men, and what have you done but crucify them, scourge them, and persecuted them? And isn't that appropriate when we think of our beloved Veronica of the Cross? Very, very appropriate. That is the gospel reading for August 3rd. Veronica, as you know, she certainly suffered enormous deprivations and humiliations. A couple that come to mind that I may have shared with you along the way, but a couple that really stand out for me that I find kind of humorous maybe too, is the time that she was in a grocery store on Long Island. She's just doing her routine grocery shopping, and a Baysider comes across her in one of the aisles of, I think, Pathmark or something, out there on Long Island. Well, this Bayside woman went berserk. She says, "Ah, Veronica, oh, a saint!" And she fell at her knees. She fell to her knees in between the Pepsi and the Fritos. And, oh my goodness, I mean, Veronica was mortified. She was mortified. I'm sure she was looking for a stack of cornflakes to hide behind. I mean, unbelievable. You talk about humiliation. But picture that yourself. The other time, too, is, if you remember, now this is recorded, Veronica was given specific instructions by Our Lady and Our Lord prior to the first vigil of June 18th, 1970. And one of the instructions was that she was to pray the 15-decade rosary before the statue of the Blessed Mother at St. Robert Bellarmine Church. Now, most of you have been there. It's on the statue is at the corner lot. It's in a public way. And she was told by Our Lady and Our Lord to pray this 15-decade rosary every morning for about, as I recall, it was about 5 or 6 weeks. She started in the beginning of April, and it ended like in the middle of May. Well, as God would have it, as the good Lord would have it, when she prayed this rosary, there were scores of school children lined up or queued up to go into school. Well, you can just imagine what happened there. I mean, poor Veronica became the object of taunts and jeers from these school children who were just lining up and just teeing off, having a field day. You know, they see this lone lady praying before the Blessed Virgin Mary, even if they are Catholic school children, and they thought they'd have some fun. And so that was, I thought, that's pretty, that takes a lot of guts to do that. And I think really to give you, though, a little insight to Veronica. She didn't always, she wasn't one that just always turned her cheek, or offered it up, as you will. Certainly she's a good example of that. But she approached the pastor. She went into the pastor, as she told me. She went to Monsignor McDonald and said, listen, all I'm doing is I'm praying the rosary. I'd like a little cooperation. The school children are giving me a hard time. That was probably the only time that the Monsignor obliged her. He had the school children line up on the opposite side. So then she was able to pray in peace. And so, in any event, though, this woman was stripped of all human respect. Every bit of human respect. And as you well know, as well as I do, she was hammered and shaped in the tribulation of fire by heaven. And in each and every way, she scaled her mountain. She reached her summit. And thankfully for you and me, she succeeded in her mission. And Our Lady said as much, that she would on October 6, 1975. I assure you, my child, you shall not be taken from your mission until the Eternal Father feels that you have completed it well. On August 3rd, 1995, the Eternal Father said, you have done a job well done. Job well done, mission accomplished. Come home to the reward that is yours for eternity. And isn't it amazing too that Veronica passed on 5 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. It's already been 5 years. And when you consider how much we've progressed and advanced, it really is amazing without our beloved seer, without our direct line, as it were, to Our Lady and Our Lord. And Veronica's body was barely warm in the grave when you had the naysayers and the detractors predicting the end of Bayside. Finally, that's it. Good, great. The wackos are finished. But they didn't know what you and I so intimately know, that this mission is not man-made, but of divine origin, of supernatural origin. This mission is the apple of God's eye. Apple, New York, get it? Okay. And really, to demonstrate God's providence too, when you consider what we've endured in the last 5 years, is certainly we have withstood an all-out satanic assault on the shrine and on the work, on the apostolate. No one likes us. And even if they do like us, they won't admit it to anyone else. You're laughing because you know it's true. But we continue to stand tall and proud. That is the demonstration of God's providence. That is the miracle. That is what is so incredible. And of course, we all know, as we've said so many times, this is God's design. The reason why this all happened after Veronica's passing is we're seeing the emergence of the role of St. Michael, as Jesus said, the greatest warrior in heaven. We're going to see, we see the beginning of the emergence of the order of St. Michael that Our Lady and Our Lord predicted in 1974. This is all providential. Our Lady and Our Lord said in the message, St. Michael is leading the army in these latter days. This is his time and place. The greatest warrior of heaven. And what we need to do, as we've said so often, is continue to do what we've been doing. Continue to run with the torch that has been given to you and me and run to that finish line. If you remember, too, in Christmas 1994, one of the last apparitions of the Virgin Mary to Veronica, she appeared to her for 6 minutes. And one of the statements that Our Lady said, she lamented the fact that there were so few who were willing to commit and sacrifice entirely for the cause. And in that same message, in the public message, Our Lady said, we need your help and the help of others to hold back the chastising hand of the Eternal Father. Jesus and Mary are entirely dependent on each and every one of us. We have a very important role to fulfill. And we too, like Veronica, must take a bullet for the cause. And it's only, we all know, that it's not easy, that it is a struggle. The Virgin Mary told Veronica, quote, only through struggle will you be successful. So if you fall, get up, struggle, get up. That's a good sign. That is a plus that you're on that narrow road that leads to the kingdom of heaven. That is a good sign. But the reward is certainly out of this world. It is beyond human comprehension. And as Our Lady said in 1974, the reward itself would still your earthly heart. And on May 10th, 1972, a beautiful, uplifting excerpt from the Virgin Mary, quote, if I, my children, could open to you for just a few short moments the doors to the kingdom of heaven, how glorious would be your suffering, how glorious would be all the trials of your life when you will be able to see beyond the gates of this glorious kingdom of eternal life. And I think what separates or distinguishes Veronica from perhaps all other seers, both living and deceased, is the fact that the nature and content, the scope and breadth of the message that this woman was asked to convey to a very hostile and faithless world. The revelations, Veronica's revelations, were unthinkable, controversial, and shocking, to say the least. Many of them. For instance, the imposter pope. Our Lady revealed in 1975 that there was a look-alike actor impersonating the true vicar of Christ, Pope Paul VI. Test tube babies. Our Lady referred to them as soulless monsters. The third secret of Fatima, that Lucifer himself would enter into the highest leagues of the Vatican. This was anathema, unthinkable to say any of this stuff. And yet, This woman had to be the voice box to convey this to the world. And the unholy ray. Boy, that takes great mental toughness. That takes guts to reveal that to the world. And you and I all know the abuse that this woman got for doing so, because you got some of it too. And so that's what we have to do. We have to be as strong. We have to imitate our dear Veronica in being strong disciples of the latter days, as Our Lady said, to be unflinching, unflinching in your faith. No apologies. We have nothing to apologize for. We've been given a great mission. We're doing a tremendous service for Jesus and Mary. As Our Lady has said, there's nothing better that you can be doing. And we continue to do that good work for heaven.
We hope that you enjoyed this presentation of St. Michael's World Apostolate on UFOs and the Unholy Ray and the Mission from Heaven. Those wishing to receive the complete information on Heaven's message can write to us, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or call our toll-free line, that's 1-800-345-MARY. We encourage all of you to keep upon you your sacramentals, and that you continue to persevere with the mission from heaven, remembering the promise of Our Lady that a kingdom of glory awaits all who persevere in the light.